This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 22nd. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, an interview with the head of a group of former Chief Illiniwek's who want to take over the responsibility of the chief from the University of Illinois amid the controversy over the chief. We'll also get a weekend forecast from AM 580's Mike Sola. First, a look at today's news. The parent companies of two central Illinois banks are combining their efforts. They say a planned merger between Busey Bank and Main Street Bank and Trust will better serve customers while maintaining local management. AM 580's Jeff Bossert has more.
The merging of First Busey Corporation and Main Street Trust will create one of the largest banks in the region. With the approval of shareholders and regulators coming sometime next spring, the bank maintaining the Busey name will have more than 40 branches and about 120 ATMs. The new bank will also have nearly 1,000 employees. Main Street Chairman Greg Likens says only a handful of jobs will be lost through the merger.
But the nature of both companies is that we have some real growth opportunities, and we are going to work with a great culture to give people opportunities to retain people, to give people opportunities to grow in their existing job or even some new ones.
Likens says retirements and attrition would virtually handle all those who would be leaving jobs. He notes a few branches near one another would likely combine. Busey President and CEO David Mills says any of those decisions would come after the deal is approved in about 6 months from now. Only sometime after that will customers of one bank be able to use the other's branch location. But Mills says they're hoping to get regulatory approval soon so customers can use either bank's ATM without a surcharge fee. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
A committee whose sole job is to redevelop the former Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul has met for the first time. Rantoul's village administrator, Dave Johnston, says state legislation made the commission possible. He hopes they can devote their full attention to making new uses for the base, which closed 13 years ago and has had trouble attracting tenants through the village's efforts.
Now we don't have to have the village concentrate on base issues as one of the many menus, things on the menu of municipal government.
Retired bank executive and University of Illinois economist Jim Hines is a commission member. He hopes the new effort can improve what he thinks has been a successful conversion so far.
It can offer boundless benefits to the people of East Central Illinois. And I suppose our role here is to lend a public face to that effort and when it's possible to give advice and recommendations and counsel and ultimately approval to some of the decisions that are made about the redevelopment efforts on this base.
But commission members still have acres of unused property and aging buildings to work with, some with asbestos and other environmental issues. Westville resident Joe Parnarauskas will be on the November ballot in the 52nd District Illinois Senate race. The State Board of Elections, acting on a judge's order, voted unanimously yesterday to put the Socialist Equality Party candidate's name on the ballot, alongside Republican Judy Myers and Democrat Mike Frericks. Democrats had filed objections to some of Parnarauskas' ballot petitions, and Democrats on the Elections Board had voted to uphold those objections, although Republican members who voted to deny the objections resulted in a deadlock. Parnarauskas says Democrats' efforts to keep him off the ballot should be a sign to voters.
That a vote for the Democratic Party is really a vote for a party that has turned its back on the working class, and to vote for what many say is the lesser of two evils is truly throwing your vote away.
Parnarauskas says he's now trying to get included in debates with Frericks and Myers. A proposal to put Christie Clinic's proposed outpatient surgery center in Champaign inside a city-county enterprise zone failed to win Champaign County Board approval last night. More on that story from Jim Meadows.
The proposal split the county board in an 11-11 tie vote, just as the debate over the surgery center has split the community. County board members disagreed over whether the center and the Clearview development it would be part of really need the tax breaks offered by the enterprise zone. And they disagreed over whether the Christie Clinic project would expand services for patients or hurt Pervena Covenant Medical Center's ability to provide charity care. County Board Member Jennifer Putman says they were being asked to choose between the hospital and Christie Clinic.
Why would we want to weigh in and give a tax advantage to one side in the feud.
But the county board did vote to put the Andersons site for a proposed ethanol plant in the Enterprise Zone. A spokesman for the agribusiness company's Champaign County office says they need the zone's tax abatements to help their proposal compete with sites in Indiana and Ohio that are also being considered by Anderson's top management. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Champaign County now has the technology to pinpoint the locations of people who call 911 from cell phones, but the technology still has its flaws. For several weeks, 911 operators have been able to see the location of a cell phone call on a map, thanks to GPS satellite technology. It replaces a system that charted the approximate location of a cell caller by calculating the phone's distance from cell towers. Greg Abbott heads the county's 911 Metcat operation. He says most newer wireless phones carry a chip now that GPS satellites can read, but only to a point.
The GPS is obviously more accurate than the triangulation method, but the GPS method has some problems when the phone is inside a building because it can't see the GPS satellites in the sky.
Abbott warns cell phone users to always make a note of their location so they can accurately guide police, fire, or ambulance crews if there's an emergency. He says 60% of Champaign County's 911 calls now come from wireless phones. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. A recent Chicago Sun-Times report said the University of Illinois had made tentative plans to transfer ownership of Chief Illiniwek to a group of former students who had portrayed the controversial symbol. Both the U of I and the alumni identified in the story as the Council of Chiefs deny that any agreement is in place, but confirm that informal talks have occurred regarding the chief's future. The former student quoted in that report says he remains hopeful that the university, chief supporters, and opponents can find a way to see beyond their differences. AM 580's Jeff Bossert spoke with Steve Raquel.
I grew up in Champaign. I'm a local boy, and I grew up watching the chief and going to football games and standing during halftime and watching the chief come out and getting excited alongside of thousands of other fans. And when I found out there was an opportunity, I jumped at the chance, literally, to try out. And so since then, history has made itself.
Has the talk about possibly retiring the chief or the people being more concerned about this, a controversial mascot, has this gotten more and more attention since you left school, or was this something a pretty big deal back then too?
When I tried out was when the controversy started to flare up in intensity. And I believe in the tradition today as much as I did back then. Had I not, I wouldn't have tried out. I think there is a large and silent majority that is out there. But I believe that over time, over the last 15 years or so, that the constant attention to the controversy at the various levels of interest has made it difficult in terms of being able to maintain that support. And as you can see, how people perceive Native American symbols in college sports.
So is there some sort of informal group, something that was called the Council of Chiefs?
When you become a chief, you become part of a small and special fraternity. There are 27 or more of us that are still alive today, and everybody who has been a chief is invited to be a part of the group that has been in constant conversations with the university. There are some that are more active than others. The term Council of Chiefs is very loose term. We do not call ourselves that. We're just a group of former chiefs that have always had an interest in maintaining the tradition, and we have ongoing been a part of conversation with the university on how to make sure that happens. We have proactively been in touch with the university off and on for years in just making sure the tradition is moving forward. With the ruling with the NCAA, that's created opportunity to work with the university much closer on this tradition. No decisions are made. We just want to make sure that we are as up to date with what's going on as they are.
What about the cost to the athletics here? I know that's not for you to decide, and probably you know, glad or not in the trustee's shoes. But
Well, to answer that, first off, you know, the position that I think we collectively have is that the NCAA should never have provided a ruling on this. I think it's outside of their realm. However, we have to live in that, and I think that's part of our discussion. How does the university maintain the tradition in light of the ruling? And it's a difficult situation, but we're trying as hard as we can to maintain the tradition as it stands right now.
So what would you like to see happen? The trustees would have to make some formal decision and perhaps turn over these halftime festivities or whatever would take place to your group or someone else, but what would you like to see done?
You know, it will be a sad day if that is actually the case. My hope it doesn't get that place. Right now, our focus is to maintain the status quo. So until we actually have to face that reality, I'm going to hold out on the hope that the tradition continues.
AM 580's Jeff Bosser talked with Steve Raquel, who portrayed Chief Illiniwek in the early 90s. The mascot continues to be part of athletic events this year. The NCAA has barred the U of I from hosting postseason tournaments as part of a ruling that calls the mascot hostile and abusive. Unfortunately, we're going to have a rainy weekend. According to Mike Sola, our forecast for today includes possibly some severe weather as well. Cloudy across the two states with scattered showers and thunderstorms, most numerous in the late afternoon, with strong to severe storms possible most likely in southern Illinois and Indiana. The highs from 66 in northwest Illinois to near 80 in far southern Indiana. For tonight, clouds, widespread showers and thunderstorms. Some strong storms are possible this evening, and lows ranging from 54 in northwest Illinois to 70 in the south. And for tomorrow, continued cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms again, and highs from 65 in northern Illinois to 81 in southern Illinois. Cloudy skies on Sunday with scattered showers and thunderstorms, with rain diminishing from southwest to northeast during the course of Sunday. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, September 22nd. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.